As soon as the ice went out, Rory drifted away to the back of Beyond Border Lake to settle in a trio of islands shagged with jackpine. He shored up the old trapper's cabin and built a greenhouse from salvaged storm windows, splurged on a yodel, and there he stayed. In the 4 decades since, Alpo has hardly given Rory's history much thought. He's giving it some now. What had he ever done with that hospital bracelet? Back then, besides working 50-hour weeks, he'd been building a new foundation and a proper basement for the house. Rose had just gone back to teaching, and they were raising 2 little kids. Digging into Rory's business wouldn't have been high on his list. How word got around about Rory's ferry service to Canada is anyone's guess. But during the remaining draft years, a dozen or so kids with high numbers had gone fishing on Rory Lake, drifting over the border to Ontario shores, but not drifting back. The code for the whereabouts of such young men was that they were drinking Molson. After President Carter declared amnesty, most returned, but some stayed for the vibe and the socialized medicine. One that did return was Alpo's younger cousin, Jay. He had taken young Pete to Jay's welcome home bash, basically a kegger with fireworks that could be seen from the Canadian side. Pete had lost his first tooth that night, quite literally, so that Alpo and 6 other grown men found themselves on their knees, poking around in pine needles and duff with flashlights and Zippo lighters. After Pete had bawled himself to sleep, Bo Baltich shucked off a boot and a sock and trimmed off a thick section of his own toenail with a pocket knife. They all sat in a semicircle drinking warm beer and watching Bo whittle it to the approximate shape of a child's incisor. They woke Pete under the light of a ritual moon and somberly, if not soberly, presented him the tooth and a jangle of coins. Rory happened to have a Canadian centennial silver dollar in his pocket. Alpo wonders if Pete still has it.